All right, guys, thank you very much. Please go ahead and have a seat. I'll tell you that singing something very new for me, but I trust that, you know, that's been an inspiration and a blessing. I know it, I think it has for us, being able to work together and go ahead and do that. So I want to say hello to everybody on the CD subscription list, wherever these CDs may go around the world. And definitely a blessing to be able to hold forth the word and share the scriptures. This morning I'm going to be teaching on a subject entitled, We Can Be Confident. Do you realize it's the absolute will of God for you to be free? To be completely free from all types of anything that encases you. Fear, doubts, worries. You mean that person could live a worry-free life? Can you imagine that? I want to see a show of hands here of anyone in this room who's never worried about anything, ever, since the day you were born. You know, I heard an interesting thing yesterday, and that is that Jesus Christ never worried about anything. Because for him to have worried about something would have meant he took something upon himself that really he should have been giving to God. And God has a much better plan for us than to be worried and really burdened down and bogged down trying to figure out something that God more than likely has a better solution for anyway. You know? But it's God's will for man to be completely free from all types of things that are bondage to him. Anything that would enslave him. Fears, doubts, worries. He wants us to be free from all the prisons of self-condemnation, guilt. To be released from the thoughts of insecurity, inadequacy, and failure. God wants us to be 100% completely, totally delivered. Not 75% delivered. Not 90%. Not 99%. But you know what? 100% completely set free from whatever encases and enslaves mankind. And that includes you. And that includes me. God wants me to be completely, 100%, totally free. Look in John chapter 8. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of people think it's God's will for them to be sick. That the Lord has a reason, brother, that you're sick because he's trying to teach you something. The Lord's trying to humble you. And that's why he's giving you this disease. You'll never find that written within the pages of God's word. Any more than a loving parent would do something harmful to their child to prove their love to their child. John chapter 8. In verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? Make you free. The truth. What is the truth? God's word. The truth, the knowledge of this Bible. Jesus Christ said, that's the simplicity of what it is. That kind of knowledge that's going to enable you to be free. Free from thoughts of condemnation, guilt, anxiety, worry, fear, anything that would encase you, anything that would enslave you, a physical calamity. Some sort of mental thing maybe that plagues you. Any types of pressures, things that come up in life. It is God's will for you to be set free from those things. So how about you? Do you have any hope that life can possibly be any different than it has been? And that there's still the possibility that things can change for the better? You ever heard said hello to somebody on the street? How's it going? Pretty good. So far. What does that mean? That you're like on the way down? It's like, so far, I mean, it's like 7 o'clock in the morning, dude. You know, I mean, you got a lot of living to do the rest of the day, you know. Because sometimes I don't think we see our lives as progressing and getting better and better. If anything, we see them getting worse and worse and worse, see. And many times we'll reinforce those things by the words that we'll speak, see. Just in greeting one another. Do we have any hope? Do we have any expectation that life can be any different than it has been? That things could possibly change for the better? Normally, there's no doubt that something at least needs to change. Most of us can identify at least one thing in our lives sitting here right now that we'd like to see change. Isn't that true? Yeah, absolutely. And probably it's more than one. Maybe it's like a multitude of things. See. But the question is, have we succumbed? Have you succumbed? Have I succumbed to the thinking that is status quo? That's negativity. Are you convinced that where you are is your lot in life? You think that I have been this way for so long, I'll probably never change? These are confessions and things that people say, and if they don't say them out loud, you know where they say them? To themselves. In the innermost part of their heart and mind. You know, sometimes our thinking can be so clouded by the turmoil of the situations and the circumstances that we are in that it actually looks like there are no answers. We pretty much throw in the towel, settling for a life of desperation, unhappiness, and frustration. And sometimes we don't even maybe make a conscious decision that that's what's going to happen, but we just somehow end up there. See. But you know what? I don't think this is what God had in mind when he envisioned his son, Jesus Christ, in being the ultimate and perfect sacrifice for man. You know, as man's redeemer, he opened the door for us so that we can now have the complete and total deliverance and freedom from any kind of prison that would hold man back, that would hold you back, that would hold me back, that would hold any person back. Jesus Christ came to set man free from the things that hold him back and enslave him. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Let's say that together. It doesn't matter what it is. You know what? Because God is bigger than anything that could possibly be going on in your life at this point in time. God is so big. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. See. Let's look into Hebrews chapter 11. There's something that really pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about it. Can you tell I'm a little bit excited about this subject? Man, he's all worked up. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. It says, but without what? Faith, it is what? Impossible to please him, being God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, there's something that really pleases God. You know what it is? Believing. Faith. For us as his kids to have faith, have believing. What is that? It's to have the confident expectation of things coming into fruition that aren't evident according to the five senses right at this given moment. Hebrews chapter 11 is full of those type of records. See, look at the verse 1. Because there are countless examples of those who locked onto the promise of God regardless of the senses indicators, and they stayed faithful until that promise was fulfilled. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what?" What? Is this insane? Faith is the substance of things not ever even seen before? What is this, some kind of supernatural thing? You know what? This is what pleases God. That we would have that type of confident expectation to walk out without senses evidence and see the promise of God brought to pass. Now, faith is the substance of things expected. You know, and it's not one of these deals like, well, I hope I get it. Well, what do you think, Todd? What do you think about it? Well, I hope I get it. Well, what does that mean? I'll tell you a real simple thing. Yes, no, maybe so. Because you know what you're saying? I don't know. I might get it. But the other side is, I might not get it. Is that faith? Is that believing? Is that having the confident expectation that God Almighty can do what His Word says He can do? That this thing really works? You know, in James, let's look at that. One chapter after this. Because you got to figure out today. Will talked about this today being a new day. Okay, this is a new day. I'm there. I'm with you. What's your heart's desire? What's the need in your life? You know that better than anybody does. What do you want? What do you want in your life? And then, can you have the expectation to see God's blessing and goodness unfolded in your life? What's required to allow these blessings to flow into your life? Or are there just a chosen few whom God handpicks to be blessed? You know the answer to that question. It's kind of a rhetorical question. No, there aren't a few chosen ones who God blesses. But you got to understand, you got to figure out, what is it you want? You need money? You need finances? You need to get out of debt? You need more peace in your life? Have I struck a chord with anybody yet? You need to eliminate worry. You need to figure out how to prioritize things in your life. You need to figure out how to be a better husband. You need to figure out how to be a better parent, better wife. You fill in the blank. What is it that would have a tendency to maybe enslave you? Self-condemnation? Guilt? Not really feeling your best? Not feeling the best physically? You need physical healing? It is the absolute will of God for you to be completely set free from whatever it is that's holding you back from being the man or the woman of God that you can be. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives all men liberally, and upbraideth not." In other words, he doesn't make fun of you because you need it. "And it shall be given him." But verse 6 says, let him ask in what? Faith. Faith. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." What does that mean? Think of it. You ever been on the ocean? Ever been on a lake? Ever been in a boat that's rocking? Whoa. 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 Yes, God, I love you, the word of God. Whoa, I don't know about this. This is really, I don't know, it's pretty scary. Whoa, yeah, I got this healing. Man, I'm starting to feel not so well. Man, I got it. I know it. I know it's going to happen. Well, you never know. I mean, you can't trust. It's exactly what it's like, folks. You know why we can speak so well on this? We're pretty much experts in it. Because we've all been there. It's not like any of us is exempt from having been in this situation. See? But somehow it is available to have such great believing that we don't waver. We don't rock back and forth. Woo, woo. We just stay focused. We just stay locked in. See. Verse 7 says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Verse 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." You know what another word that comes from that word double? The word doubt. D-O-U-B-T. Comes from the same root word as this word double. To have doubt. I'm not really sure if God can do this. But you know, we've tried so many times and failed. Wouldn't you think at least we try to or take God at his word? See? Because God's much better at doing this and instructing us and helping us than we have or ever been. See? What is your heart's desire? What is the need in your life? What do you want? Can you have the expectation to see God's blessing and goodness unfolded in your life? You know what many people in the depths of their hearts think? They're not good enough. They're unworthy. Well, you know, we all are unworthy. All this flesh, the word says, is like filthy rags. You find no value in this flesh. What you do is you find value in what God has made us to be in Christ. Can we make a choice to walk by faith, not choosing to consider the senses evidence? Do you and I have the holy boldness, Ern, to claim what is legally and rightfully ours? Can you say what the promise of His Word says? Can you have the confident expectation that His Word will work? And that we can have whatsoever we say it? Look in Mark chapter 11. You know, in Peter it says that the Word of God is given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. It doesn't matter what the need is. God is big enough to take care of it. Anything. Everything. Mark chapter 11. It's a record about Jesus and the fig tree. Many of you are familiar with it. He was passing by. Hungry, went over there to get a little nibble on something. I guess it's before the time of figs. There's like a little thing you can pull off a fig tree. Actually, the record starts in verse 12 of chapter 11. It says, "And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto" what? This is so weird. He spoke to the tree. He spoke to the tree. And he said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it, and something else heard it too. What? The tree! The tree heard it. His disciples, maybe they wondered, Jesus, are you having a good day or what? He's speaking to a tree. A few other things happen. Verse 19 says, and when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. You know what that fig tree did? It obeyed. It did what it was told. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. Or more literally translated, have the believing of God. You know, God's believing. When God said something, you know what happened? It happened. He just said, in the beginning, light. What'd he say, Ken?
Be.
It just happened. See? And then he goes on and he shares this verse here, 11:23. He says, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I'm going to share something really interesting with you. Do you realize you could still have faith in your heart and have a mind that occasionally has doubt? Sometimes we are just so hard on ourselves that if we think we have the tiniest little bit of doubt about something, we just throw it all away. See? This is having doubt in your heart. Doesn't mean you couldn't be still believing and moving in a positive direction and then having some kind of challenge a little bit in your mind about it. See? It doesn't mean that it's all over because you're such a weak person you just couldn't have a perfect mind all the time. See? We just have to learn to kind of, you know, work with ourselves a little bit in light of some of these things. And so what's the literal truth behind this, Mark chapter 11? Was he talking literally about a mountain? Was he? Is that what you think? What was he talking about? Who knows in here? Victoria? Talking about problems. He's talking about your life. Whosoever shall say unto that mountain? What is that mountain? Financial problem? Debt? Oh, you spent too much money on your credit card. Now you think God's going to hold that against you for the rest of your life, along with everybody else who thinks you're a whatever? We got to pull out of this. We're talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth. You think God's not able to get you enough money? You made a mistake, okay? God understands you're human. You don't have to kick your own behind for the rest of your life because you made one mistake, okay? Or two, or a series of a zillion mistakes. We've all made mistakes. We've made thousands of mistakes. So when does it all end? When you start ever making any mistakes? You know what? If that would have happened, you never would have needed the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior from sin. We need God. We need God's help, don't we? See? Okay, you made a mistake. God's not holding that against you. He's not holding that to your account. God's saying, whosoever. You know what that means? Whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. What is that mountain in your life? What is it? What'd you say? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because you know what? For every one of us, they're all different. Whosoever shall say unto that mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. What's it say? It's going to happen. So what does that mean? It means you speak to the tree. It means you speak to the thing. You speak to the problem because any name that's named has to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. Is there a name to cancer? Is that a name? Is there a name to AIDS? Is there a name to fear, worry, finances? Anything that has a name has to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ spoke directly to the tree. We had an individual here not too many months ago who was ministering to people. You know what he spoke to? Directly to the problem. Spoke to the knees. Spoke to kidneys. Spoke to spleen. Spoke to brain. Spoke to whatever. I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is onto something here. Whatever whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, have that holy boldness, but shall believe that those things, what's the word believe? Confident expectation. To have the expectation that this isn't the end right here. There's something coming. Okay, maybe I don't see it like that. Well, you know what? Could be 5 seconds from now. Could be 20 seconds from now. Could be 30 seconds. It's coming. See? It's coming. And shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall what? Have it. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, look at this. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe. That's the word expect. That you receive them and you shall have them. See? We don't walk by sight. We walk by what? Faith. We don't see something first and then say, okay, now I believe it. The word of God, the encouragement to the believers is, believe to see it, then you receive it. This is what we're talking about here. See. And we can have the confident expectation that His Word will work and we can have whatsoever we say. We can make a choice to walk by faith, not choosing to consider the senses evidence. And these other questions, I trust that we can say yes to them and that we are challenged to rise up and to be more confident in our expectation. We just don't hope that good things will happen. Because that means maybe not so good things will happen. Or boy, I sure wish that would happen for me. When that is in our minds and we speak doubtful words, then we consider there is a chance they won't happen. We must be so fully persuaded that there is no question, no doubt, no wavering. You know, I heard a great thing last night, and it's kind of inbred into our culture, and that is if you don't worry, you're not really responsible. Because a responsible parent really would worry about their children. A responsible person would really worry about their finances. See? And actually, some people might call someone else and say, aren't you worried about so-and-so and such? And they might say, well, I don't know. You know, don't you care? In other words, if you're not worried about something, it's a sort of a signpost in the world. You don't care. Read it to me. Show me. Show me where it's a good thing for God's people to worry about things. I think Ken Petty calls it, Dr. Wuerl will call it, others call it in the foundational class, the enemies of believing. The enemies of believing, to just be so worried about things. Do we expect good things to happen? Do we? Are we looking forward to the answer no matter how long it takes? Can we take God at His word? You know, believing in faith is not about having all your ducks in a row. God doesn't ask us to be perfect first, then we can see results. He doesn't ask ourselves to get ourselves all worthy enough somehow and then seek the blessing. He doesn't even ask us anywhere in the Bible to try. He asks only one thing, believe. And that we have this positive expectation of the impossible to occur. I'm going to say this, I've said it again, and I've said it again, and I'm going to say it again. We can do this. We can do this to bring the impossible into fruition in the senses world. We can call those things that are not as though they are. Romans 4:17, that's exactly what it says about God. And Jesus said we should have the believing of God. To call those things that are not as though they are. We can say what the promise of the Word says no matter what anyone may say or what anyone may think or how stupid it may seem to our minds at times. Our ability to claim, to expect, and to see the promises of His Word evidence are not based on what the five senses indicate to us. Because the five senses are not trustworthy. There's only one thing that's really trustworthy, folks. It is this Word of God, and it's God. Everything else, subject to question. It is based on what God has revealed to us in His Word and what He has revealed to us personally. That is what we can believe for. What a new level of dynamic living we can aspire to. What a message of deliverance we have. Walking with God, believing and seeing His goodness day by day, and having the expectation to see our lives transform gives us the ultimate, ultimate freedom. It is the kind of freedom that liberates us from any disease, any financial hardship, any mental torture or prison, or any situation that seems impossible to overcome. God specializes in the impossible, ladies and gentlemen. This is God Almighty. He specializes in the impossible. He continues to work with us to get us to rise up. Rise up. God specializes in the impossible. Whether we think there's an answer or not. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close in Ephesians chapter 3. God can do beyond what we even think about. We can have that confident expectation. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16. Says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, look at this thing. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or according to the power that worketh in us. Boy, how about meditating upon that scripture for a little bit of period of time? God is not only able to do according to what we think, He's able to do way beyond that. And we know that's impossible. See? God is so able, so capable. And all God asks of us is one thing, believe. Believe. It says without believing, it's impossible to please God. So we could do everything, run around circles and do everything that we think we're supposed to be doing to please God. And it just God just says, you know what? There's one thing that really pleases me, believing. You know, and we run around and run around and run around trying to figure out all the right things to do and right things to say. And there, you know, it's just like, there it is. It's like, dang. See. So maybe it's in our best interest to start believing. See. Confessing what the Word says, saying what the Word says, identifying the need in your own heart and life, and then walking out believingly according to God's Word. Father, thank you for this Word of God that is so dynamic, Father, and how it does, it just wells up within us like a fire, Father. And I pray that we can keep it simple, but yet have the boldness in our lives, Father, to claim and say and do what this Word of God indicates to us, and that you'll help us, Father, and work with us and teach us and instruct us so that we can take this thing to the next level in our believing, Father, and just to see these things that you've promised to us, that we can see them as realities and just be so totally set free, Father, from anything that would cause us to be less than the best in our lives. And I pray about this morning. Thank you for the hearts and lives of God's people and, Father, the way that you minister to us so uniquely and so individually. It really just takes perfect praise to describe that. So we pray about this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.